What a friend we have in Jesus. And isn't that so true? And what a blessing it is to know that he is there for us every step of the way, walking right alongside us. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. You know, earlier during the children's message, Pat quoted chapter 3, verse 17. Now, we're going to work our way there. We're beginning in verse 1, and I'm going to go through 6 today. Next week, we'll pick up in verse 7 and do some more of it, and we're working our way up to Jesus' baptism and during this time of Epiphany. And so, let's look at the Word of God together. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. The word of God for the people of God. Well, have you ever thought everything was going well, only to discover that there was something wrong? How many of us have prepared for a vacation, a dinner, a party, or a meeting, only to realize at the last moment that you were not ready? Do you remember how you felt when you realized just how unprepared you were? This is what the people of Israel are going through in this passage. You see, they had been longing for the Messiah to come. They were ready for the Messiah to come. It had been 400 years since anybody had heard a word from the Lord. And then when they finally hear one, what are they told? You're not ready. You're not ready to experience the kingdom of heaven. You're not ready, but guess what? The kingdom of heaven has come near. And so we better address this in quick order. And that's John's message as he comes. He's there to make straight their path, which had become crooked. It reminds me of a group project I did while I was in seminary. I don't know about anybody else, but I hate group projects. It's not because I hate people. I love people. Love working with people. But when I was in school, I hated group projects because no matter what, there was always one person in my group that never did their work. Now, in seminary, I thought this would be different, right? So I was happy. I was ready. It was in our ethics class, and we were learning about all the different types of ethics that people live by all throughout the ages. And we got to pick one and study it and research it, give examples of it, do a presentation on it, all these things. And we got it together, and everybody had their parts. I was feeling good. And then the morning it was due, that afternoon, the day it was due, that morning, one of our classmates let us know that he wasn't able to finish his part. And I went from, me and the other three people in the group, went from having peace about it to having a real lack of peace. And we hurriedly and panically pulled something together as best we could. And we gave the presentation, and instead of getting the A we thought we were going to get, we ended up with the C. And I remember hating that feeling of being unprepared. What's one thing to be unprepared about a project, right? It's quite another to be unprepared when the kingdom of the Lord is coming into your midst. When the kingdom of heaven is here, to be unprepared, to be unprepared for Jesus Christ being near. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't want to be that person. I want to be somebody who is ready. I want to be somebody who's beyond ready. I want to be somebody who is looking with anticipation. Kind of like the way, if it's not really vacation time, but you know how we get before vacation, right? We count down the days. We count down the hours. We mark it on the calendar and we can't wait. We start packing, Missy can tell you, we start packing a week in advance. We start putting things together a little here, a little there. We don't do the full packing because, you know, you still have to use all that stuff. But we start getting ready well in advance. Well, we can do the same thing when it comes to the kingdom of heaven and Jesus Christ. And so as we look at the passage this morning, what we're going to see is what life can look like if we actually took this call to the King seriously, and what needs to change in our lives if we're going to take this call to come to the King seriously. And why is it a call to the King? Because Jesus really isn't mentioned, because you can't have a kingdom without a king. And Jesus is our king. All right, so I'm going to show you three things this morning that the Lord has laid upon my heart from this text. The first one is this: in order to come to the King, you must be willing to leave your places of comfort. That's the first thing that we see. How did I get there? Where did this take place? Where was John the Baptist at? He was out in the wilderness. He wasn't in Jerusalem. He wasn't in one of the other big cities or big towns. He wasn't in the synagogues. He wasn't at the temple. No, he goes out into the wilderness and starts preaching and starts teaching and starts inviting people to come. Remember, this is about 30 years since Christ was born. Somewhere around there, we believe. And so they had some amazing things happen back then, but then it kind of gone quiet. And now all of a sudden, John the Baptist burst onto the scene, and instead of being in a place of prominence where it's easy for everybody to come and to hear his message, he goes out into the furthest, most regions in Israel. And he starts preaching this message of repentance. Repentance. And what do we learn here? We learn that God's grace, there's no distance he won't travel to reveal it to us. That even when we feel like we're in the most remote place in your life, in our life, that God's grace is still available there. You see, in other words, this call to repentance, for them to actually even go to him, is their first step of repentance, right? They had to take a step to get there. They had to take a journey to get there. And so they had to leave their places of comfort in the city. It'd be like if all of a sudden the prophet John the Baptist was preaching, he wouldn't come to Nashville. Said he might go to Sparta or somewhere maybe even more rural than that. Maybe Jackson County, where there's not really but one little town of Gainesboro. And we would all have to pick up and travel and go there if we wanted to hear from the Lord. See, we have to be willing to leave our places of comfort if we're going to be a part of God's kingdom. Because God's kingdom is not about our comforts, right? It's about his kingdom. It's about following him. You see, God does not call you to build a life and then take it easy. Instead, he calls you out of your life to the life that he's built for you. I want to say that again. God doesn't call you to a life to take it easy. He calls you out of that life you've constructed and into one that he's building for you. Convenience can be a dangerous thing in the life of a believer. When we dwell there for too long, it can be very risky. You see, you risk choosing conformity over obedience. If your concern in the kingdom of heaven is a life of ease, if your concern in the kingdom of heaven is all about yourself, then it becomes very easy for you to choose conforming to the world rather than surrendering to Christ. And obedience becomes harder and harder. You also risk choosing easiness over perseverance. right? Whatever the easiest path is, you take it. Because that must be what God wants you to do. Over perseverance. I read a story this week about a man named Father Joseph Damien. And he went to one of the remote islands of Hawaii that don't have too many people on it. And in this area, there was a leper colony when he was there. And he went with the sole purpose of ministering to them. And for 12 years, he led exactly zero people to Christ. And finally, he just said, I'm done. I can take a hint, Lord. These people don't want me. They don't want you. They're not receiving your message. I'm going to hop on a plane and go back stateside. And so he got to where he was about to get onto the plane, and he felt an itch in his hands, and he started scratching them. And you can guess what happened. He had developed leprosy. So then forced to come back to the colony where he had been ministering for the last 12 years. Suddenly, the whole village gathered around him to comfort him. They knew the pain, the fear, the doubt he was experiencing. And that next Sunday for worship, when he went to worship, that whole village came to worship with him. You see, now they could relate to him, and he could relate to them. What if he had just stayed in his comfort zone and traded in that kind of life where he got to have an amazing ministry for a life of ease? That's the risk that convenience can bring us. We also risk choosing security over dependency. We become so afraid to take any kind of risk that we end up dependent upon ourselves rather than God. And what you end up with is a stale Christian life with little risk and little reward. And ultimately, you drift away from God and you drift more towards yourself. And you become more self-reliant, more self-indulgent, and more self-obsessed. That's why John didn't come to the cities. Because it wasn't about them, it was about God. And that's what we need to hear this morning. Life isn't about us, it is about the Lord. It is about Christ living in and through us. And how many of us are willing to lay our lives down so that the King might be lifted up? Is that the kind of life that you're leading? The second thing we see is that in order to come to the King, you must be willing to change your ways of operation. Notice in verse 2, and saying, repent, this is his message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Why did he come? Isaiah tells us in verse 3, a voice, he is the one of a voice calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, making straight their path. And what did the people do? How did they respond? They came, they repented, they humbled themselves, and they changed their way of operation. What does that word repentance mean? It means literally to turn around. Anybody ever made a wrong turn with your GPS? When I was going to visit my sister over in North Carolina, and it was about a 45-minute drive to go see her at the hospital each day, and you had to go through this roundabout, which I hate little roundabouts, by the way. You had to go through it, and there were about 6 different roads you could turn off of, and it was on the 4th one, and I kept thinking it was on the 3rd one. And so I'd go down that 3rd one, and little Siri would tell me, make a U-turn, make a U-turn at the next stop, 400 feet, make a U-turn. And I'd have to make a U-turn to get back on the right path. That is what John the Baptist is telling the people of Israel to do. Make a U-turn. Stop what you're doing. Repent from what you're doing. And what were they doing? They were living a life of religion that so stood in the way of their relationship with God, that the only way that they could come to know the Lord as he truly wanted them to know him was to repent, to turn around and chart a new course of action, to find a new way of operation. And notice who he's calling to repentance, by the way. The children of God. You see, we too often in today's 2017, we call on people outside of the church to do the repenting. But repentance always begins in the house of God. It always begins with God's people, not people outside. In fact, if you look in the Gospels, if you look in the New Testament, the invitation to non-believers is this: believe. Not repent and then believe. It's believe. Because even belief in itself is a form of repentance. You're turning away from something to Christ. And then only once they've believed, only once they've started walking with him, is there a call to repentance. How much more effective would we be in evangelism, in sharing the gospel, if that would be our invitation? If we would invite people to faith instead of saying they have to turn and repent first of their sins that they're not even aware of. Repentance should be the part of every believer's life. And without it, a person winds up hopelessly stuck in cycles of sin. Sometimes those sins are known to you, other times they're hidden. Like in this passage, the people he's calling to repent didn't think they were sinning at all. They didn't believe that their religion had caused them to drift away from their God. They didn't realize that all their rituals and all their worship services meant very little to God because their hearts were far from him. They couldn't see it at all. So repentance is not always of a specific sin like drugs or a sexual sin or unforgiveness or hatred or anything like that. Repentance can also mean the very way in which you operate, the very way in which you approach God. That's the kind of repentance John the Baptist is calling them to. And repentance, it requires three things. It requires the discovery of sin, where the Holy Spirit makes known where you're walking amiss. It requires a godly sorrow for that sin, meaning you become broken and heavy-hearted, and you literally mourn over that sin. And it requires a turning away from that sin. I want you to know we don't talk about sin and repentance enough in 2017. In churches today all across, I keep saying 2017. I forget that it's moved on to 2018, so forgive me. We don't do it in 2018 either. I saw somebody making a look at each other, and then I realized what I had done over and over and over again. So let's keep going. But this repentance, it's not a part of everyday life for even a lot of Christians. And I want to tell you this morning, it should be. It should be a part of your everyday life. And if it's not a part of your life, if realizing that there's sin in your life and the Holy Spirit showing you what that is and being broken and sorrowful over that sin and turning away from it is not a part of your relationship with God, let today be the beginning of a change for you. Because without that, you can't draw near to him. Without that, there will always be the separation, because that's what sin causes. Separation between us and God, and separation between us and people. And until we repent, we're going to keep that separation alive and well. And that's why this invitation to a people who thought they were holy is to repent and turn away from their sin. Because until they did that, They could not find their way to God. You know, when, I haven't shared one of these stories in a long time, but back in my McDonald's days, we did something that I hated. And we had 29-cent hamburger day. Anybody remember that? How many of you took advantage of that? Right? I see a lot of hands going up. Well, if you were a worker, you despised those days of the week. At first, we thought, we'll get a few extra business and it'll be okay. And we just tried to operate as business as usual. And we were so behind all day long because one by one, somebody come in, I'll take 100 hamburgers. So the next person come in, I'll take 50 hamburgers. Next person come in, I'll take 200 hamburgers. So we had to set aside four workers, have four extra people working on that day all day long. And all we would do is make hamburgers for 8 hours straight. We had to change our way of operating if we were going to keep up. Well, I want to tell you this morning, if you want to know God more in 2018 than you did in 2017, then you need to change the way that you are operating. You need to peel back the layers of religion and see how your relationship with God actually is. Because you might be coming to church every Sunday, you might be going to Sunday school every Sunday, you might be in a Bible study and be no closer to God for it. If your heart is not where it needs to be, all the rituals in the world will not make up for a heart that is not fixed on Christ and under His authority. That was their problem. And so we need to be willing to change our ways of operation. And then lastly, in order to come to the King, you must be willing to release your need to be exalted. How humbling must it have been for these people to leave the cities, to go to the country, to listen to this guy wearing weird clothes and eating locust and honey. What a strange sight that is. What a strange image that is. And what you see in John the Baptist is somebody who is completely sold out for the Lord and somebody who has humbled themselves completely under God's authority. And that was the call. Come. And the people came. They came from Jerusalem, we're told, and from Judea, and from the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. For too many believers today, far too many believers today, have lives that revolve more around themselves than Christ. And instead of seeking how they can serve him, they reflect only on how he can benefit them. This is a call for us. Is your life more about you or Jesus Christ? Are your decisions more about what you want to do or what God would have you to do? Is your average day more caught up and built around the desires of your own heart or the desires of His? Do you think that just because you come to church and we worship and we sing together, that is truly what God desires from you? I want you to know, we see right here, God desires something far more, because the Israelites in their day, their worship services, they worshiped. They had rituals. They had sacrifices. They sacrificed animals. They did everything in the best of their ability to follow the laws of Moses. And in fact, they wanted to do it so well, they added a bunch of laws that God never told them to add, just so they could be good little Israelites. And yet he says, your hearts are far from me because you've turned this into a religion and you don't know me at all. That's our first invitation this morning, our call to a king. We're not called to a church. We're not called to even a place of worship. We're not called to a certain Bible study group. We're called to the King. We're called to God. We're called to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, to be with the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. Jesus said the laws of the prophets could be summed up into two things, right? Love Him and love people. Notice what He didn't say. He didn't say the laws of the prophets can be summed up into this. Make a religion, worship me, do a bunch of rituals in my name, and don't truly know me. That's not what He said. He said, know me and love my people. How many of us need to repent toward that today? So that our hearts might be free from the layers of religion and full of a life with Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, it is so easy for us to get caught up in things and rituals and doing activities that we honestly are not bad things, but we think somehow that those are the same thing as knowing You. Lord, forgive us for putting our religion ahead of our relationship with You. And help us this morning to peel back those layers of religion, to see where maybe we've gone amiss, and in humble submission to repent and to turn our gaze towards You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Tony comes forward to lead us in our closing hymn, I want to invite you. If the Holy Spirit is revealing something to you this morning about maybe something in your life you need to repent from, why don't you come up to this altar and pray? It doesn't have to be some kind of bad sin that you did on purpose and some way in which you know what you were doing was wrong. It can be something a lot more subtle where maybe you thought you were doing something right. And then it ended up, the Lord has shown you that, you know what? I've been in worship for a long time, but I hadn't been worshiping. Or I've been in study a long time, but you know what? I forgot the who I'm studying. Let's come down to this altar and pray as you feel led by the Holy Spirit.